I invite you to pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, today we resume our preaching series, Praying the Psalms. So far we have looked at Psalms for praying our thankfulness, praying our hope, praying for wisdom, and praying our pain. I encourage you, if you have missed any of those messages, to go online, fpcl.org, and you can listen to them. You can listen to them all there. Today we look at praying for faithfulness with Psalm 1. And even though it's the first one of 150 psalms, I think many of us, for various reasons, don't start at the beginning. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, is such that you can start almost anywhere. And for various reasons, we have our favorites. Psalm 23, for example. And I have to admit that prior to us starting this series on preparing the Psalms, I, like many of you, had not paid much attention to that first psalm, Psalm 1. But come to find out, Psalm 1 is really the key to all of the 150 psalms. It takes us to the heart of the matter. It sets the stage for all the other psalms and gives us a very clear view of the big picture. Yes, Psalm 1, as it turns out, is a real zinger. Listen, how well you must like us. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere wind-blown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Road. Is that what your Bible says, Dave? Not quite. What I just read was the translation of Psalm 1 from the Message. Message is, I just thought you might enjoy hearing it. The imagery is so bold and vivid. So now let's hear Psalm 1 as it's in our Pew Bible. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Essentially, Psalm 1 tells us about two distinctly different paths for living. The first path, as you heard, describes those who follow God. The second path describes the way of those who do not follow God. Those who follow the path of God are happy, fruitful, and prosperous. Those who follow the godless path are blown around like dust and end up not amounting to much of anything. If we hear Psalm 1 and don't much think about it, we are likely to say, yeah, right on, sign me up. But if you stop for a moment and think about what we're reading and hearing, you might, like me and many others, say, wait a minute. That's not always my experience in the world. In fact, sometimes our experience is just the opposite. For in the world, we can see the wicked prospering and filling up the airways. We see the godless having a good time and making out pretty well for themselves. We see a company terminating hundreds of employees for the sake of saving money. And then a few days later, announcing one of their largest corporate profits ever. In fact, many of the Psalms following this first Psalm lament that very reality. Lord, why? Why do the wicked prosper? And there's more. In the world, we see people who are doing all the right things, but are passed over for promotions, forced to work multiple jobs, and still struggle to make ends meet. We see children exploited, trafficked, abused, murdered. We see people who are living the teachings of Jesus discriminated against, mocked, and suffering. In our communities and in our personal and professional lives, it often looks like the good people are getting the short end of the stick, and the wicked are making out like bandits. So what's this all about? That's not, according to Psalm 1, the truth. If we read Psalm 1 with the eyes of faith, we see the whole picture. For what we see out there, what we see going on, it's just a small fraction of the big picture. Psalm 1 gives us the entire big picture. It takes us directly to the end of the story, and isn't that what Stephen Covey says? Start with the end in mind. Well, I think that's what Psalm 1 does for us. In Psalm 1, we see people who look to God for instruction and make God the center of their lives, and they are like trees planted by streams of water which yield their fruit in its season. They are watched over by God. On the other hand, Psalm 1 tells us that people who rely on their own instruction, putting themselves or others at the center of their lives, are blown about like dust and amount to nothing. The truth revealed in Psalm 1 is the overarching truth of all the Psalms. And because it's not what we experience in the world, it can be hard to believe. We cannot believe on our own. Therefore, we must pray for faithfulness. Faithfulness to stay on the path of following God, regardless of what happens, and regardless of what it looks like is happening out there. Praying for faithfulness keeps us on that path that Psalm 1 talks about. It keeps us from going backward or leaving the path. Sometimes to stay on the path, I found that all you can do is stand still. That's okay. Stand still on the path, praying for faithfulness, praying to have the eyes that see the truth of Psalm 1. Let me tell you all a story about how I saw this happen in my own life. After I graduated from seminary, most of you know that that wasn't that long ago because this is a second career for me, I began looking for my first call to a church, my first ministry position. I faithfully sifted through dozens and dozens of church information forms, those churches looking for a pastor. I networked, I prayed, and I waited. And waited. And waited. A year and a half later, I was still waiting. And nothing appeared to be happening. Nothing I could see. I persevered. Yet still, no call came. I was getting discouraged. One could say I was losing faith. After all, I had faithfully answered God's call to enter seminary. I had worked hard in seminary, using up my savings, my retirement, going into debt to finish. I thought I was on the right path. You know, the path of the righteous that Psalm 1 describes. But where was the river of water and the fruit and the prospering promised? So I took a solo retreat up in the mountains all by myself. I ended up getting snowed in. I took that solo retreat kind of to ask God to spend that time to listen, to find out a little bit more what's going on here, God. Toward the end of that time, God gave me a sense of a church to contact, a church a friend of mine had told me about. And following God's lead, in meeting with all the right people, I became a candidate for that church position. Boy, was I excited. But then, in the midst of my joy, I learned there was another candidate. Oh, boy. The wind went out of my sails. Boy, this candidate looked so good. You know the kind. The younger man, former seminary professor, experienced church pastor with a wife and kids. I couldn't believe it. How could I compete with a candidate that looked so good? My discouragement was stirred up again, and my faith again challenged. It didn't look to me like I had a chance. I just couldn't see it happening. And yet, in similar Davidic vein, where Samuel found that ruddy shepherd boy amongst his brothers, who were all more handsome and stronger than he was, I got the call. Through that searching time, and in the following years, I have learned more about what Paul is talking about in that second letter to Corinthians, which Steve read, when he writes, "We walk by faith and not by sight. What we see in the world is only a fraction of the big picture." Psalm 1 shows us the entire big picture. So difficult to believe and stick to on our own. I believe God never means for us to keep the faith on our own. We need God to hold that faith. So we pray. We pray for faithfulness, and we need each other to hold that faith, to pray with us and for us. That's why being a part of a faith community is so important. We help each other pray for faithfulness. We help each other keep the faith. And together we grow into seeing more and more as God sees by praying for faithfulness. Amen.
If you want to take a look at the next hymn, 452, it's a new one. And I'll just help you through the roadmap for just a